Words are so good. It says, "Oh, that we may read in characters of blood the wisdom, power, and grace of God." Lord, make it so. Characters of blood. Passover. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. This true story is taken from God's Word. This took place nearly 3,000 years ago, but is very, very current, very relevant. This is the story of King Hezekiah, who sent out posts and letters to all Israel concerning the Word of God. And these were to be posted or put up where they could be seen, where they could be read, declared from one end of Israel to the other. And the decree, this was it, verse 1, Hezekiah sent all to all Israel and wrote letters, Ephraim, Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. And he repeated this in verse 5. Again, I say, again it's written, from Beersheba to Dan, from one end to the next, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. They had not done it for a long time, like it was written, like they were supposed to. So he sent these letters out to all who heard and all who read that they were to come. Come to the house of the Lord. There was one place. One place set up by God from the beginning. One place set up to worship the one true God. One place. Come, he said. Everyone who hears it, everyone who reads it, come. Come. We're going to keep the Passover. There's one thing needful, he said. And we haven't done it like the Scriptures tells us to. One pressing thing that every single person needs to do, he said. And wrote this for everyone to hear. We need to keep the Passover according to Scripture. Now, as I said, this is very current. It's very relevant. The Lord our God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, has written His Word. He has sent out His Word. It says the Lord, the Scripture says, the Lord gave the Word, and great was the company that published it, sent out with it. The truth. And it has been from generation to generation. The truth has endured from generation and shall endure to generation. The truth, the Scriptures, the Word of God has been declared, has been posted literally. The Lord wrote, gave it to Moses on tables of stone, came down. To one man and one people, He wrote it on the wall with His hand. And through letters, through the apostles, through these men, epistles, letters, He sent the Word. And all have heard, Paul says, have they not all heard? Yes, from one end to the next. That's what he said. Yea, verily, God's Word, the sound thereof, has been heard throughout all the earth. Let's heard it. Well, what does God say? What's the decree? The same here. Come, This is what God's Word says. Come. God says, come to my Son. Come. Keep the Passover. Come to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke out loud twice, didn't he? What did he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Come. Look to Him. Look unto me. Who? This is me. My Son. The I Am. God-man. Emmanuel. God with us. This is Him. Look unto Him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's what this book says, from cover to cover. But He's God, there's none else. Jesus Christ is God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You must come to Him. He's the Passover Lamb. He's the only substitute. You must come to Him. You must look to Him. You must cling to Him. Lay hold of, keep, trust, believe the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what this book says, from cover to cover. This is the message. This is the decree. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the Passover Lamb. By His blood, and only by His blood, we have remission of sin. Only through the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood. Not lambs and bullocks, it's not possible. But by this man's blood. My one offering that He hath perfected forever. This one atonement that Christ made, the death of Christ, the blood shed by the Lord Jesus Christ, pays for, redeems His people, pays for their sin, only them. And the decree, the declaration of God from cover to cover in God's word is to keep the Passover. Come. Observe, hear, see, believe, worship, lay hold of Jesus Christ. This is the one thing needful. The sum and substance of the gospel. Christ said, if I be lifted up, it's the only thing that will draw men to God. This is the only thing that will sanctify anyone, as the priests that needed sanctifying, the people that needed cleansing, the people that weren't yet saved. The only thing that would do it was this Passover, this blood. And our Lord said, as Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ crucified must be declared. Always. At all times. This is the one thing needful. He is the one thing needful. Christ crucified. Keep the Passover. And what this Passover was, it was repentance toward God. We need a substitute. They were coming to a God who was angry. They didn't hear anything about the love of God. The word love is not mentioned in this text. In these letters, in these posts, Hezekiah did not tell the people, God loves you and He wants this and wants that. Won't you come? He did not say that, not one time. On the contrary, verse 8, he said, the fierceness of God's wrath is upon you. Come. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what? We talk about the goodness of the Lord leading us to repentance. That's Romans 2. The goodness of the Lord is to make you fear the Lord. At Pentecost, Peter didn't preach God loved them, and they were convicted by the fact that they crucified the Son of God, and now they were in His hands to do with as He pleased, and they didn't know what He was going to do with them. The fear of the Lord. But that's the goodness of the Lord that led them to repentance. Repentance involves fear. Repentance involves knowing that you've sinned against God. Knowing that, like David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And you're going to be right when you judge me. If you cast me into hell, you're going to be right. Lord, save me or I perish. Perish what? At your hands of, in your wrath with the world that you're going to destroy. And then it's to lay hold of Christ, the substitute. Lord, here's my hope. Here's my hope. Lord, forgive me for the blood's sake, for Christ's sake. Christ came. You're pleased with Him. You're not pleased with me. I plead Christ's righteousness as my own. I plead His blood as the payment for my sin. I deserve to die, but Christ died. Lord, this is repentance toward God in faith. Lay hold of the sacrifice, the horns of the altar, Christ Himself. I lay hold of Him. Lord, this is Jesus Christ is my only hope. Not my goodness, not my work, not even my repentance, not even my faith. Jesus Christ, I deserve to die. But here, would you accept Him? Not I accept you, but would you accept Him on my behalf? That's what that means. To keep the Passover. And that's the goodness of God, to lead a man, a woman, to fear Him, and to repent toward God. It says there up in verse 22, it says the people are making confession to the Lord God. All those days, confession. 14 days, confession. Why? Because their sins were many. Because they were great sinners. And what they needed? At the hands of God. A holy, a righteous God who's angry is mercy. His grace is a propitiatory sacrifice of blood. Bloodshed. This is missing today. They said they haven't done this for a long time. This message of the blood. You rarely even hear it today. That a holy God is going to... This world is perishing. That God is not pleased with this world. You don't hear that anymore, do you? Why did Jesus Christ die? Because God is holy. Because He will by no means clear the guilty, the Scripture said. Blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And God said, but God, who's rich in mercy, said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will be merciful to their sin. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Why? How? If it's under the blood. So come. Come one, come all. Because all are sinners. You better come. It's your only hope. You better come, lay hold of the sacrifice. You better come, keep the Passover. Sammy, that's what we're doing every time. We're coming to keep the Passover. We're coming to plead Christ. We're coming before a holy and righteous God who's going to wipe this place out. And we're saying, by faith, we're saying, Lord, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. Lord, cleanse me from all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ, my Passover Lamb. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Every time. Look back at chapter 28 with me. Chapter 28. They hadn't done it for quite some time. Israel was in a mess at this time. And as I said, we're going to look at this, some of this chapter Wednesday night. But read, if you want a blessing, read beginning here and all the way through chapter 31. But Israel, all through the Old Testament, Israel are called the people of God. They worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Israel. All right? They claim that that's their God, the living and true God. All right? But not all Israel was Israel, were they? That's what God said. But there's a remnant. And to make a long story short, God divided the kingdom of Israel. Judah, there were 10 or 11 tribes, and they always had a bad king over them. But Judah, that was the remnant. That's the seed of David. They had, not always, but usually had a good king over them. Hezekiah was one of them, king of Judah. And that's that remnant, according to the election of God, said Judah. He chose Judah in the seed of David. You with me? I'll make a long story short. Long story. Genesis to Malachi is this Israel and Judah. Well, they were separated. They were divided. And Israel, the professing, they all were professing believers. They all professed to believe the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they were idolaters. Read it for yourself. Well, we're going to read. Here in chapter 28, verses 3 and 4, this wicked king and all the people burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire and after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. In other words, they were involved in all sorts of idolatry just like the rest of the world. Not worshiping the living and true God, the way God said in God's Word. Are you with me? All right. And he sacrificed, verse 4, and burnt incense in the high places, on the hill, and under every tree, anywhere and everywhere he did what they did, whatever they felt like doing.
Now, did God say you could do that?
No, sir. He said, there's one place. There's one way. There's one truth. One Lord. One faith. One place. One. Now, you know what I'm talking about. What the word is.
This one place, this one way, this one truth, there is no other, is Jesus Christ
and Him crucified. Jesus Christ. But they had gone off into all sorts of idolatry. Look at verse 19. Go down there, verse 19. It says, the Lord brought Judah low. Because of Ahaz, king of Israel. Judah was involved. He made Judah naked. Literally. People were running around naked or practically so. People, the Word of God, Scripture says the commandment of the Lord is clean. The Word of God, when it ceases to be preached, when it ceases to be heard, all of it, every life, then perversions come in. Idolatry, corruption, perversions abound. And it becomes norm. These people run around naked. Does all this sound very relevant? Very current? Huh? And verses 22 and following it, in time of his distress as king, he got in trouble. It was against the Lord. That is trespass. Verse 23, he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus who smote him. These enemies smote him. He said, well, they're gods. They helped them, so I'll sacrifice to them. Maybe they can help me. But they were the ruin of him. And all Israel. Everybody said, well, let's try this one. Try God. Try this God. Try that God. And look at verse 24. It said he gathered together the vessels of the house of God, the holy things of God, cut them up in pieces. Just butchered the things of God, the ways of God. Are you with me? Are you reading between the lines? Took the things of God, the way God said, the exact order, things that God said where he would be worshipped with, and they butchered them. Butchered them. And read on. Shut the doors. He shut the door, verse 24, of the house of the Lord. And he made in every corner, anywhere and everywhere, anybody wanted to worship any way they wanted to, it's fine with him. We don't have to worship this way. It's too strict. It's too narrow. We don't need all that. We'll do whatever is right in our own eyes. Mind you, God, there's many ways. That's what he said. There's many ways. Not this strict way, but there's many ways. We all believe the same. If you're sincere, we'll all get to God somehow. That's what he believed. And that's what he said. And God was angry. Is this Romans 1? Is this not Romans 1? It says they hold the truth, but in unrighteousness. Change the glory of God into the corruptible man made images of God into a man and so forth. Images and statues and pictures and things like that, and begin to worship God any way or way they want to. Twist, pervert, butcher the Word of God. Corrupt the Word of God. Oh, that's not... That's what it said, but that's not what it meant. Is it not? So God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are against even nature, and they began to pervert themselves and corrupt themselves until God looked down and the whole place is a mess. Even professing believers, a mess. Now more than ever, this post needs to go out. Huh? Now more than ever, these letters, these posts need to be declared for all to hear. You need to come and hear the one thing needful. That there's one way, one truth, one life, or we're dead men. And that one is Jesus Christ. That one place where God will meet with a sinner is the mercy seat, Jesus Christ. That one truth of who God is and how God saves is Jesus Christ. And he that cometh to him hath life. He that lays hold of him hath life. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, shall not perish, but hath life, and never see death. Come one, come all. That's the message. That's the message. You know, as a result of this idolatry, you'll read it if you read it. That's profound, isn't it? You'll read it. If you read it, there were 120,000 people slain. 200,000 were captives. Judah. And today, people are dying like flies without God, without Christ, without hope. Having a false refuge, a refuge of lies in idolatry. This is not make-believe. It's not a fable. This is true. It's current. When I say current, I mean it's happening right now. It's continuing. Hasn't changed a bit. Why do we look at these old stories? Because God hasn't changed. Because man hasn't changed. Because the truth hasn't changed. The way hasn't changed. The truth hasn't changed. There's one way, one hope, one truth, one faith, one Lord, one hope of your calling. We're going to see in a minute how that the ones who came, why did they come? It was the hand of God bringing them. God brought them, this remnant, according to His election, according to His power. Well, look at verses 9 and 10. So these posts went out. It was the mercy of God, wasn't it? It was the grace of God to send these letters out. He didn't have to. He could have just wiped them all out, couldn't he? But He sent these letters out. Come! And look at it. Verses 9 and 10 in chapter 30. He said, if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren, your children, shall find compassion before them that lead them captive. So that they'll come into the land again. Inherit the land. The Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you. Whoever come, whosoever will, He will not turn away. Whoever needs mercy, He won't turn them away. Brother Kelly, he said, again. Didn't it? If you turn again. If you've turned away once, come back. Turn, huh? Again, again. Read Jeremiah, the first 4 or 5 chapters for yourself. Why will you die? He said, turn again. Jeremiah said, turn us and we'll be turned. But turn again and again and again. He's merciful, He's great, He won't turn you away. To whom coming? But, verse 10, the post went out and the last line says, they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. You know, what I'm doing right now is preaching this old message of blood, sin, and the wrath of God, and the need for a substitute, because God is angry. We're not hearing that anymore, are we? Huh? You do. Some do. A remnant does. Always. And the world laughs it to scorn, doesn't it? The world laughs and scoffs at this. Peter prophesied of that. He told us that in 2 Peter 3. The last days of scoffers will come. Mockers will come. What is the problem? What are you talking? We don't believe this stuff. We don't believe that God is angry with us. We don't believe the wrath of God abides on us. All these hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and famines and all that. That's not God. That's just Mother Nature. We don't believe there's one way. We believe there's many ways. We don't believe there's one way of salvation. Blood, that's old-fashioned, that's barbaric, that's archaic. Nobody believes like that anymore. Yes, they do. That's not the truth. You think you're right and everybody else is wrong? No! This is what the decree said. This is what God, the King, wrote. No, we're not interpreting this. We're not telling people what we think it says. What we're doing is just declaring, thus saith the Lord. There's one hope for dying sinners. A blood sacrifice. No, we don't believe that. That's a bunch of foolishness. People dying like flies, as we said, going into the face of a holy God, and they all find it out too late. Is this the one thing needful, or is it not? Do our children not need to hear this? But not all rejected it. Not all scoffed and mocked. Some mourned. Not all laughed, some mourned. And they said, you know, we do need a lamb, don't we? We have sinned against the Lord, haven't we? We do see the wrath of God. We do see that. Is this true? That God is merciful and gracious? Yes, it is. Thus saith the King. You'll come. He'll have mercy on you. Me, the chief of sinners? Yeah. Oh, verses 11 and 12. Why? Look at it. Verse 11 and 12. Different ones of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to the Jerusalem. Why? Because in Judah, that remnant, the hand of God. It was the hand of God to give them one heart to do this. If we come. We heard it this morning on the radio, didn't we? It is God that worketh in us both the will and the do of His pleasure. It's not free will, it's the will of God. It's not man's power, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's the hand of God, the sovereign hand of God, the power of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the Holy Spirit of God, wooing, drawing. No man cometh unto the Father, Christ said, but by me. No man can come unto the Father, he said, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And God Almighty, in mercy and grace, Bonnie, God Almighty, one day said to you, Bonnie, you are coming. For a while, I'm not coming. I don't believe that. You laughed at the scorn too. But God, in sovereign mercy, said, you won't laugh now. You'll cry. You won't mock. You'll beg, you'll plead, and you will come, and I will be merciful to all your unrighteousness, and I will accept you in the blood, and you have a sacrifice, and all your sins are gone. It's of God. Salvation's of the Lord. It's in His hand. Salvation's in His hand. And He gives it freely. All who ask. Here's the mystery. All who ask, do so, because He chose them. All who come, don't come because they decided to. They come because He decided to, long before the world began. Because God gets all the glory in salvation. Not the will of man, the will of God. Not the purpose of man, the purpose of God. Not the power and decision of man, but the power and the decision of God. He gets the glory. Salvation's of the Lord. And it's not, they don't come bringing anything. What were the people doing when they came to keep the Passover? What did they bring? Did the king say, now, God needs this, God needs that. You bring a little bit, help them out. No, sir. What did they bring?
Nothing.
The old song we sing is, "In my hands no price I bring, simply to the Christ of the cross I cling." They come with anything. They came to receive everything. They came to Him who's all. A remnant came, and I got to, where am I? I'm preaching the gospel, that's where I am. Well, it says, I like this, look at this. Verses 13 and 14. They assembled at Jerusalem. The people, they all assembled. They all gathered together at Jerusalem. And that's all His people come to where Christ is. His church gathered to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And I keep quoting it, Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. This is His will that He gathered together in one, even in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, both in heaven and in earth. Some of that, all gathered, and even now we all gather in Christ. And look at verse 14. It says, "They arose and took away the altars in Jerusalem and all the altars of incense, took it away, and they cast it all into the brook." And you read back earlier, Hezekiah is the one that found the serpent of brass on the pole. That's over in 2 Kings. But he found that serpent of brass, remember? And the people were worshiping that. Idolatry. And he ground it to powder. He said, "It's Nehushtan. It's a worthless piece of brass. It's idolatry." And Hezekiah is the one that did that. And he got all the stuff. There was all sorts of stuff that they brought in. Remember, they took out the things that God had ordained. And they brought in all sorts of stuff. And they had stuff everywhere. Religious paraphernalia everywhere. And they began to clean it all up and threw it in the river. All of it. And would that God Almighty would come in these places and clean them all out and throw it in the big river. Huh? That's what it's going to take in. And do one thing. And preachers, stand up. Look at verse 15. Then they killed the Passover. They killed the Passover. And the priests and the Levites says they were ashamed. These weren't proud and arrogant men. They were ashamed. These men were ashamed. Hey, we haven't been. We have several men, one sitting right there, who preached the gospel. And some of them, years ago, didn't preach the gospel. They were in false religion. Donnie Bell, Brother Mahan, and several. They were in religion. Just like these Levites of old. Just going through the motions. They weren't preaching the gospel. But God, through these letters, through His Word, through a true man of God like old Barnard and so forth, came and revealed Himself to them and in them. And they began to throw away all this stuff. And the Lord taught them the gospel, and it made them ashamed. Made them ashamed of what they'd done before. Like old Saul of Tarsus said, "Everything I ever done in the name of God was rubbish, dung, all loss. I was blaspheming God, injurious." But now, He revealed His Son into the truth. Now there's one thing. So that's what Paul did. One thing we preach. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and Him crucified. Look at verse 13. This is good. 15. It says they sanctified themselves. How? Same through the Passover. There's one way. Brought in the burnt offerings into the house of God. Verse 16, they stood in their place. Brother Gabe, they stood where they're supposed to be standing. They stood there. They were standing now where they need to be standing, doing what they need to be doing according to the Word of God, the man of God. What were they doing? Sprinkling the blood Now they're doing what they're supposed to do, these Levites, these priests of the Lord. Now they're doing what God called them to do according to the book of God. Preaching Christ. That's it. Nothing else. Don't get away from there. Stand right there and declare the Word of God. Sprinkle the blood. Sprinkle the blood. And I got to quit. And it says down in verse 17, there were many not yet sanctified. And there are probably some in here, I'm certain of it, who don't know the Lord. But there's one way. I know it. I know there's one way. The Lord saves people. It's not by the preacher's charisma, or it's not by programs, it's not by fleshly things. Salvation is of the Lord. And God uses the preaching of Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. What I'm doing here, preaching Christ, to save them that believe, those that He gives this gift of faith. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm called to do. I'm going to stand right here. Sprinkle the blood. So it says that Hezekiah prayed a little short prayer. Oh, what a prayer. Hezekiah, verse 18 and 19, prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his father, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." And you know what? The Lord hearkened. The Lord heard. The Lord does answer prayer. He healed them. He saved them. And he still does. It says they sang, children of God, children of Israel, verse 21, that present there to keep the feast with great gladness. They praised the Lord. This is all about the Lord. All about the Passover. Day by day singing unto the Lord. Verse 22, Hezekiah spoke comfortably to the Levite. He had a heart-to-heart talk with them. "Boys, you're doing what you're supposed to do now. This is good. I know you're discouraged. I know you're ashamed of yourself, but you're doing what I told you to do. And this is good." And it says they ate there. They did this. They ate. They drank. They offered peace offering. They worshiped for 7 days, confessing to the Lord God of their Father. And they enjoyed it so much, Dan. 7 days. They said, "Let's do it again. 7 more days. Let's don't leave yet." So they did. The guy said, "Okay. Have 7 more days. And they kept it with gladness. How many messages have you heard? How many times have you come into this place? How many times? This poor, pitiful fellow has brought nearly 5,000 messages in 20 years. That man, 4 times that many. How many? We're doing the same thing. Same thing. How many Sundays? How many weeks? Why? Well, you keep coming to hear the same thing. That's of the Lord. That's of the Lord. That's of His mercy that you see your need of one thing, Christ. And so it says that Hezekiah gave great gifts, thousands. There were lots of people. Well, everybody had a lamb, John. Nobody was without a lamb that came. Thousands. The congregation, verse 25, all of them, the strangers that came out, that is Gentiles, they came too. And they all rejoiced. There was great joy in Jerusalem. Since the time of Solomon, there was never the like. As the priests and the Levites arose, blessed the people and their God. And it says, and their praise, their singing, their worship, their voice came up into heaven itself. God heard it. They were doing it like He said to them. And He heard them. And He blessed them. And He forgave them all. Every single person, no matter how bad and sinful, doesn't matter who had done what, every single person that came to keep that Passover, God said, "Forgive. I'm well pleased." And where is that?
Christ.
One way. One way. All right, Brother Gabe. That's, what is that, 226? Sherry was playing it as a prelude, and we wanted to sing it.
Yeah.
226.
Let's stand together. 226.